Hello, hello, hello. Here I am. Here I am, Robert. You can hear me now? Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sharon and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen the distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, and I will follow it with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. But we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and are looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure that your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout rooms discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, the announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked my friend Robert to read the 12 steps today. You can unmute, Mark Robert. Is he able to unmute?
Yeah, there we go. All right. Good afternoon, friends. I am an alcoholic. My name is Robert. Okay. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous read: one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood it, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh.
Thank, Thank you so much, Robert. Really appreciate it. Today we will hear a talk on steps 8 and 9, and I'll just reread those. 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And 9 made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Please give a warm welcome to Stan L. from Philadelphia. Welcome, Stan. You can unmute. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stan. I'm a great recovering alcohol. I thank God and A for my life and the men and women in my life. I truly do. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Happy Tuesday to all you fine folks, right? I love doing that because it puts a smile on my face. It puts a smile on your face. And I'm just grateful to be sober. Truly am. And it's an honor to be here today. And he told me to have 30 minutes and I had to laugh because, you know, I can talk. I found out I can really talk. I really can. But we're on step 8 and 9. So it's really an honor to be here. And it's funny. My mother's 84 years old and I look after her a lot. And last night she called me and I was just clicking into a meeting. And for some reason she said, "You're short with me." And I didn't think I was short. And she said, "I'll call you tomorrow." So this morning, and I don't want to get into like taking inventory. What I'm just saying is this morning I looked at it when I was on the phone with Martha. She's real feisty too at 84 years old, right? And I looked at it and I said, maybe I was a little short. So I had to call my mom this morning and say, "Mom, you know what? I was a little short and I apologize. I'm sorry," right? Even though she's feisty as can be, right? She's just a feisty thing, right? So looking at this eighth step, and what I like to do is just tell you briefly how I got to that eighth step, and that's by going the 7 previous steps before this step. And then during that 4th and 5th step, there was a lot of information in that 4th and 5th step, and where I was able to take a look at me, the type of person I was and had become. And then going through that 6th and 7th step, wanting to be a better person, wanted to build character building. And it talks about in the step 6 and 7 step where spiritual values had to come first. And I say that because I was a guy who came in here who believed it was a God, but I had no faith and trust in God. And going through these steps, I started to achieve that faith and trust in a power greater than myself by going through these steps. And I remember approaching this 8th step, and this is where it gets crazy, because I remember my sponsor said, "Just put everybody you know on the list. Everybody you know, right?" That's a lot of people. In the big book, right after the 7th step, it talks about faith without works is dead. There's a lot of work we have to do in this program if we want to be happy, joyous, and free. A lot of work. So I look back on my 4th and 5th step, and I started going back in my life as a child and to look at my behaviors. And when I look back at my 8th step, I saw that even at a young age, I don't know, elementary school, how I would go in my mother's pocketbook and take money out of her pocket, change to treat my friends to go to school. And without her knowing, of course. And then as me and my friends, you know, we played games, we played sports, we drank, but we stole. So I had to look at this list and I had to start going back in my life, and I was a thief. I mean, I was the guy who stole cars. There was a college right near us. We used to go take their 10-speed bikes. hubcaps. And for the older members on here, if you remember, I know the older members, the 8-tracks, which the younger people don't even remember 8-tracks anymore, but there were 8-tracks in people's cars, and like, you know, we used to take them, right? And like, so I was at a young age, I was a thief. And it's surprising because a lot of the times that I stole stuff, it wasn't because I really wanted the stuff. It was to get the pat on the back by my friends saying, you were cool. You did that. Like some of the stuff I did just to get that pat on the back, right? So as life went on, I continued to live that way. And I think about the car crashes I used to have, all the accidents that I was able to drive away from. And when I sit here today, and when I truly say this, I drove away from a lot of accidents, and they were in the middle of the night having blackouts. And when I look at my life, I don't know if I ran over anybody or not. I have no idea, because I was able to pull away after an accident in the middle of the night. And in the 8th step, I like, it talks about, we might next ask ourselves what we mean when we say we have harmed other people. What kinds of harm do people do one another anyway? To define the word harm in a practical way, we might call it the result of instincts in collision, which cause physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual damage to people. Coming in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had no idea about stealing people's joy, people's peace of mind. I had no idea about any of that. It was only until after I started practicing these principles in my life that I started to learn some of that stuff. I think about them car accidents, or, you know, stealing someone's joy, their peace of mind. And, you know, they come outside and see their car smashed. You know, somebody's day is all ruined and all upset. You know, that kid that comes out of college who's doing something right with his life comes out and his brand new 10-speed bike is gone because we done cut it with bolt cutters. You know, and here's a kid doing the right thing, right? Going to school, getting an education, learning something. And here I'm a thief and I'm taking from him, right? Just the things that I put people through emotionally and mentally, you know, and sometimes physically, because that's how we grew up. And sometimes we were physical. So as I started to make this list, the list kept just getting longer and longer, because what happened was, even in that 4th and 5th step, there were a lot of people who I didn't know their names. I didn't know anything about them. I just remembered the act. And I remember my sponsor said, just put all that stuff down on the list. And I remember I had Jane Doe's, I had John Doe's. And what I want to say, and I know people do the 8th step differently, I was told not to put my name on the list because I had took care of me in the 7 previous steps. This was truly about other people that I had harmed. And again, people do it differently. So that's not debate or anything. That's just what I was told to do. And so the list was really, really long, and I had to put down, you know, of course you put down your parents, you put down all of these things, and I had to put down, a lot of you've heard me share about how before I got here to you guys, right after I got here to you guys, which that little child died in a fire, that 10-year-old child died in a fire, as a direct result of our attitudes, our actions, and our behaviors, right? How I hurt my parents, how I hurt friends, because under the influence, you know, I put drug dealers on the list, people I ripped off. And under the influence of alcohol, right, even the people that are supposed to be your friends, I remember ripping them off too, you know, and they were supposed to be my friends, right? Self-centered to the core. Only worried about me. That was my only concern. That was it. So I hurt people emotionally, mentally. I remember after I got sober, how my mother, well, my dad told me that my mother had a, was having a nervous breakdown because she hadn't seen me or heard from me in I don't know how long. But what I heard was she was looking at the news every night because she was waiting to see her son's face posted on the news that something had happened, or she was waiting for the knock at the door that something had happened to her son. And so that was emotional, that was mental. My mother's always been in church all her life, you know, and I'm sure that rocked her spiritually as well, you know, not knowing what was going on with her son. So that list was just, and my sponsor told me as I was writing this list, which he put another wrench in it, because when I did that fourth and fifth step, I felt some pain because of the person that I was. And here on this eighth step, he told me to jot down something beside each one of them names that I had done. Not a story, just jot down something. And I remember jotting these names down and putting something beside it of what I remember that I did, the act that I did. And I remember how I felt that pain all over again of the person that I was and had become. And when I looked at that list, I was truly hurt. Like I was a scumbag. And our book talks about that tornado. I was a tornado in everyone's life. That's just what I was. So I felt it. And I remember, you know, I'm just jotting down some things that, and I think about my oldest daughter, mother, you know, the, how all the lying, you know, she ended up leaving me, but how she would try to get me to drink and all the lying and the cheating as well on her. All of that stuff had to go on the list. And I remember after getting done this list, and what I'm so grateful for is that if I was to do a list right now, I would get A's and B's on the list right now. I would get A's and B's because I'm not that person I used to be. And I got to say that, and that doesn't mean I'm perfect, but man, I am no way the person that I was when I first walked in the door of Alcoholics Anonymous. So the list was just so long, and it was, and our little book talks about it could be overwhelming, and it was just overwhelming because I remember when my sponsor said this eighth step, and I heard in meetings people sharing about the eighth and ninth, and right away my head went to the ninth step because I was overwhelmed about how am I going to make amends to these people. We were right there, and he said, no, keep it simple. It's just make the list. Make the lift. The ninth step will take care of the ninth step. Just, you just got to be willing. Just make the list. And he kept drilling that in my head, and I kept praying because my head kept going to, see, I knew the wrongs, you know, and that I had done. And, you know, you'll hear sometimes we come in here and we say, we got a conscience. Like, I always had a conscience. Before I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a conscience. Like, I knew when I was doing the wrong thing. I just had no control. I had to do what I had to do. I was born. I was taught right from wrong. I knew when I was doing wrong. I just didn't have a choice. You know? So the list was just unbelievable. It was just overwhelming. So you know, I got all these books out here, like I'm going to sound like say something profound here. I'm not even going to get into that. You know, I'm trying to look at, I'm going to share me and just do me. That's what I'm going to do, right? That's it. So I got into this list, man, and I felt all of that. So after making this list, I remember how my sponsor said, we're going to pray and we're going to go down this list. And I remember laughing because he said, and immediately, you're not going to any drug dealers. You're not going to them at all. He said, you could just X them off of the list, right? Because see, that could cause me harm. See, I put them on the list, but by having a sponsor, right, he directed me. You are not going to apologize to them for ripping them off because it may not be good, right? And so there were some things that were taken right off that list. But I remember on the list of, on when it talks about how we can look at people who may have harmed us. And I remember I put my dad on that list because he was an alcoholic growing up. And a lot of you have heard my story, but anyway, like growing up, I hated my dad, right? He was a drunk. He was a drunk, and that's just how it was. And after getting here to Alcoholics, I put his name on the list of him harming me, right? What happened was, here I am in Alcoholics Anonymous, an alcoholic just like my dad. But what happened was my dad got in recovery as well. He was here before I got here. But I remember how he was on the list because he harmed me, you know, he harmed me. And I remember I had my mother on the list as well, because at some point when we were young, my mother had bought a house and she had moved. And she had told my dad we were moving, but she bought her own house because we had lived in an apartment. And some of the family members ended up telling my dad where we lived. And I remember I had a problem with my mother of why did she let my dad back in the house, right? Because she knew how he was. So I had her on the list as well, right? So here we are. I got through the list. I put everybody down on this list. And now we're at the ninth step. And before that, man, I had my grandmother on the list. You know, I had so many people on this list. And I know I felt like just writing a list right now, all the people, right? I had my grandmother on the list. There was just so many people. So as I got into this ninth step and starting to go with my sponsor, and of course the easy people were my mom, my dad, you know, to tell them I was sorry, and my dad by him being here, and my mother, you know, my dad just told me continue doing what I'm supposed to do, right? I had to apologize to my sisters, my brother, because I had stolen from them as well, things from them. And one of the people, it talks about, you know, when we're making amends, it's not to harm someone else. And I'm going to talk about my grandmother for a minute, because I remember my grandma, we had two cousins and they were bad. Everybody knew they were bad in the family. Like, you just didn't let them around because they were going to rip you off, right? And my grandmother, I used to steal from my grandmother. And she just knew it was my cousins, my two cousins, right? And because I was her boy. I was her favorite. I was her boy, you know? And I remember, you know, going through this list with my sponsor, and like, it would have crushed her for me to go to her and tell her that I was the one taking money from her, right? When I went in her house. So what I learned to do with my grandmother was to go to her after I was sober and start just doing things for her. I remember how I started painting her house. You know, I started helping her in her yard just to make amends to her, just started doing things for her, right? because it would have crushed her. It would have hurt her. It would have hurt her. It wouldn't have did any good for me to tell her that I was stealing from her, right? Because she thought so much of me. And so I started learning how to do things like that. And as well with my parents, you know, in the literature, it's more than just putting down a drink. You know, putting down a drink, of course, is what we have to do first. But it's about me changing that old way of thinking, them attitudes and them behaviors, where I'm not continuously apologizing for the same thing over and over and over again. And so as I started making these amends, and what I'm glad for, because some of the stuff, when I got here, I was a bum. I didn't have the creditors. I didn't have all of that stuff where I had to worry about, because I was a bum when I got here. But I do remember my employer before I got sober, and how I used to do the wrong things while I was working for this employer, and how he would fire me a couple of times. And of course I would apologize. But what was in my favor with this employer, and a lot of people don't get this, like, he was in recovery. He was sober in recovery, right? So he knew about this way of life, but he also knew he couldn't save me. And I remember all the wrong things I used to do, and he ended up firing me. And so he was on the list as well. So as I started making these amends, I remember how after a while, I went to a rehab, I went to another work release program, and I remember my employer came to see me and how he was going to offer my job back to me. And I remember after he offered his job, my job back, how I was so grateful, and I just started doing all the right things, you know, for this company. You know, it didn't matter what kind of work he gave us to do that day. It got done. It just didn't matter. I didn't say anything. It just got done, right? I was learning how to be a worker among workers. I was learning how to follow direction, right? And making that amends to that man by showing up on time, being where I needed to be. One of the hardest amends that I had to make was, and a lot of you guys have heard this, is to my oldest daughter, who grew up not calling me dad. And I remember after being sober, and I remember even how she went to some counseling, and I remember I went to some counseling with her, and telling her how, you know, it's so hard to tell a child that you love them, but alcohol and other things kept you from them, right? It's a hard thing to explain that to a child, man. And I remember how I had to do that. And I remember one day I met her and called her mother, and I wanted to meet her, and I remember I took her out to get something to eat, and I'm having this conversation with my child, Ray, 5 minutes, because I'm like, Ray. So I remember having a conversation with my child, telling her how sorry I was. And again, trying to explain that to a child as something was more important, more devastating, right? I remember how my child just looked at me, and she couldn't say anything. She couldn't say anything. And I wanted her to grab me with both arms and say, "It's all right. I forgive you." That didn't happen. It didn't happen. It took time for that to happen, but it didn't happen then when I tried to make that amends to her. And it's funny we're talking about this, because some of this stuff I don't even get to share when I regularly share, and I'm sharing it now, you know, and it just touches my heart because of where I am at today. So I've learned how to make amends to people. I've learned how to show up. And I love the ninth step because it's about change. I've even learned it in here in the ninth step of how to, I own my own company and I've had to apologize to grown men because of something might have happened on a project. And I remember how one day I went and I cursed them all out on the job. And I remember my sponsor talking to me about that. And he told me about how everybody has feelings and they don't deserve to be talked to like little kids because they were grown men. And he told me I might have been right in what I was saying, but it's how I said it. And I remember I had to go back and apologize to these grown men. Not for what I was saying, but for how I was saying it to them. And I learned them things here in Alcoholics Anonymous, how to talk to another human being. But in making amends to people, things that went well. Today, I like talking about being of maximum service. I like talking about doing for people without anybody knowing it, only me and God. You know, because that's how I make the amends to the people that I'll never be able to make amends to, by being of maximum service and doing things. You know, I was always taught the best thing I can do is to do something for somebody and nobody knows about it. It'd be found out by mistake. So those are the things I practice today in my life because it's just so many people, you know, and it's about staying sober, but it's about me being this better human being. And what I love at the end of, you know, we talk about them promises, the ninth step promises, how they have come true in my life. They have come true in my life. And I sit here today and I have that freedom because faith without works is dead. And I've been doing the footwork since I've been here for 36 years. And I continue to do the footwork and I continue to practice these principles in my life. And what I'm so happy for is today that I didn't try to go through all of this stuff that I had lined out in the books right here to try to sound like I was profound and I have all of this true knowledge of the eighth and ninth step, right? I wanted to be me. I just wanted to be me and share honestly about my experience on the eighth and ninth step. And in doing that, I have some freedom. I really do. So I want to thank you guys for having me. I have a God in my life that blows my mind. And one thing when I always share, and I always close with this, my cup used to be half empty before I got here to you guys, right? My cup is not half empty. My cup is not half full. My cup overflows with gratitude and joy. Much love to all you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you.